Well, whenever I come to events that mark the passing of time, like on my birthday or on New Year's Day or things like that, where you're kind of marking the passage of time, I almost always think of and go to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is my go-to psalm on my birthday, New Year's Day, and so I thought we would meditate together on Psalm 90 this morning as we begin a new year. Psalm 90, it's a meditation on time and finiteness. It's a kind of a meditation on our own, the shortness of our lives and our finiteness. I don't know if you've noticed this about me over the past year and a half, but I think about death a lot. It's one of the things that makes me such a happy person. And that statement will, if that doesn't make sense to you right now, hopefully it will by the end of this sermon. It's funny, but I mean it seriously. I think about death a lot, and that is one of the things that makes me such a happy person. So let's pray, and then we're going to read Psalm 90 together. Holy Father, now as we come to your holy word, we look forward to a good meal. We want to eat on the feast that you have provided. Your word is our bread. Your word is our food, and it's good food. It's a feast. And so I pray that we would eat well this morning and that you would nourish and sustain us by your word. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it's dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath, and we finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes. Establish the work of our hands. This is the word of the Lord. So Psalm 90 talks of God the Creator, who is infinite, eternal, unending. He's infinite. When we, the creation, are finite, it compares and contrasts the infinite eternal Creator with the finite creation, which is us. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, that's always, all the way back and all the way forward, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So God is eternal. He always was. He always will be. He's not bound by time. He doesn't exist within the limits of time. In fact, time was God's idea. There was a time before time was, and then God created time. Time came into being. Time is not eternal. God is eternal. For God, 1,000 years are like a day or a watch in the night. That's because he's outside of time. For us, I mean, it's hard for us to identify with that, right? We experience reality within the limits of time. One thing happens after another, and that's how things work. Things are sequential. So 1,000 years for us is like 1,000 years, But God sees everything at once. He's outside of time. Okay, I have to stop there. There's pretty much that's pretty much all I can say about that because I don't really understand it. And neither do you, and neither does anyone else. Because as finite created beings, no matter how hard we try, no matter how smart you are, we just cannot wrap our minds around the idea of infinity. We just can't do it. Our mind just shuts off. I tried to think this through. I was trying to think it through last night, and at a certain point, my mind was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. You're on your own. I can't do it. Our minds shut down when we think about infinity. God has always existed from eternity past. Do you hear that phrase? It's always existed from eternity past. And the first thing you think is, whoa, that's a really long time. But the whole point is that it's not a really long time. You can't measure it in time. That's not the right unit to measure it. It's forever. It's beyond time. And our minds just don't understand that because we're not God. In fact, we have a hard enough time coming to grips with the concept of time, right? I mean, whenever I speak to a parent who has children that are older than mine, which is a lot of people here, I ask them for wisdom concerning parenting. I've asked a number of you, what's the secret? How can I be a better parent? Give me some counsel. Help me to be a better dad. And whenever I ask that question, almost everyone at some point in their answer says, it goes so fast. You won't even believe it. Cherish every moment because it goes so quickly. You will be amazed. You'll wake up one day, Lois will be going off to college. It's weird to me. I know that's good counsel and I receive it, but it's weird to me that one of the very few constant realities in our life is time. It never changes. It's one consistent thing about our lives. It just keeps marching on. And yet somehow we're amazed by how fast it goes. We can't believe how fast. Well, it's been going that pace your whole life. Almost everything about your life changes. Time doesn't change. It's just as constant. And yet we're amazed. Where does it go? How does it go so fast? I don't get it. That would be like, I mean, it's weird that we have this problem. That would be like if a fish was just constantly amazed that it lived in water, right? Like, I can't believe this. We live in water. We don't breathe air. We breathe water. This is unbelievable. Fish don't do that. Fish aren't amazed by that because it's just how life is for a fish. That's what they expect. Somehow, we humans can't seem to come to terms with the fact that we live in time. It just blows us away every time we think about it. Where does the time go? I don't know. I think the fact that we have such a hard time figuring out time, I think it's a clue. I think it's an important clue that we actually weren't made for this. We weren't made to live under the confines of time. And so it keeps blowing us away. We're like, I don't get it. I can't understand this. You know why? It's because you weren't made for this. And you feel it. You feel it in your bones. You have a hard time coming to terms with this because it's not the way it was meant to be. I think it's a clue. This problem we have with time is a clue that we're made for something different. I think that it means that our ultimate destiny is going to be a place where time ceases to exist. I know it's hard to imagine, but I think that's true. And I think that's the place where we will feel truly at home. The place where there is no more any time. Okay, so God is infinite. God is eternal. You and I are not. We live, at least for now, not always, but for now, we live within the confines of time. It's a reality for us now. And that means that eventually, sooner or later, time runs out and we die. And that reality helps us see the great gap between God, our Creator, for whom time doesn't run out, and us, the created. Okay, so look at verse 3. Of this psalm, you turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. That's a reference, obviously, to the book of Genesis. From dust we have been formed, and to dust we return. Verses 5 and 6, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed, and in the evening it fades and withers. That's God's description of us. It's not very flattering if you think about it. You know, we, when we're assessing ourselves, we tend to think we're pretty impressive. I mean, humans are pretty amazing. They're not perfect, of course, but humanity, I mean, we've done some amazing things, and I personally haven't done very many amazing things, but I like to take credit for, you know, we're all in this together. So, you know, we've sent people into space. I don't know how we did it, but I'll take credit for that. Humans, we put someone on the moon. We've explored all over the whole Earth. We've invented computers, television, iPhones. I mean, it's amazing what we've come up with. We're learning how to cure diseases. We're learning how to live longer, healthier lives. I mean, yeah, we've got some flaws and some problems, but all things considered, humanity is impressive when you look at it like that. We're headed somewhere. Good things are happening. Life keeps getting better. We're learning how to solve these global problems. We're getting more and more enlightened. That's what a lot of people think. You hear that kind of talk, even especially around this time of year, very optimistic kind of, look at how great we are, look at how things are getting better. We're going to solve the world's problems. That's how a lot of people view humanity, and in some ways, humanity is very impressive. We are. But I love this psalm because it's just like a little reality check from the Creator. It just all depends on what perspective you're looking at us. Verse 5, God says, well, actually, you know what? You know what you're really like? You're like a dream. You say, oh, yeah, okay, you mean like a good dream? Like a happy dream where, you know, the kind that you don't want to wake up from, you're just enjoying the dream? No, actually, it's like the kind you have when you wake up and you don't even remember what you were dreaming about. That's God's picture of humanity. And then he says, no, actually, you know what you really remind me of? You remind me of grass. Great grass. When was the last time you were out for a walk, you know, maybe with your wife or husband, and your attention is just grabbed by a blade of grass? I mean, honey, check out that blade of grass. That is a nice blade. I bet no one ever said that here. I'm pretty sure. That's God's picture of humanity in Psalm 90. We are like grass, fresh in the morning, withered by the time evening rolls around. That's not actually very impressive. That's pretty finite. Here today and gone tomorrow. All right, so now you're all thinking, this is not a very encouraging way to begin the new year. I know it's not. I know it isn't. That's the thing about our finiteness. No one likes it, right? It's the bad part about life. It means it's all going to come to an end. And we don't like to think about that. In fact, we're pretty good at not thinking about death, right? We've turned it into an art form in our culture, not thinking about death. And we developed this skill. I've been thinking about how we got so good at this skill. We develop it very early in life, or at least I did. I bet you did. Early in life, how to not think about things that you don't want to think about. Just put it out of your head, focus on something else. It happened for me in elementary school, because when's the best moment of the week? When you're in elementary school, the best moment of the week is when the school bell rings on Friday afternoon. Class is over for the day and for the week. It's the best moment, right? Because you've got a whole weekend in front of you. It just seems like forever, right? Like Friday evening, all day Saturday, Saturday evening, Sunday. It's forever. I'm done. You know, I can do what I want. I'm free, finally. That's how I used to feel anyways. But so, I'd start planning out all these great things I'm going to do. What the thing I made sure not to think about was Monday morning. Right, like Monday morning in my mind did not exist. Right, and if you bring it up, I'm not talking to you. I don't want to think about Monday morning, because if you think about Monday morning, you throw a whole dark cloud over the weekend. Right? You wreck it. So you get home, you put your school books somewhere out of the way where you won't see them. You don't want a reminder of that, and certainly you don't want your parents seeing them and asking if you have any homework. So you hide your books away. You just focus on the weekend. Most of us have gotten pretty good at doing that. And then here's what happens. Sunday, even saying it right now, I totally remember this feeling. Sunday evening rolls around. You haven't done any of your homework. You get this sinking feeling in your stomach. You start to think about there's a reality. Life is not just one big weekend. There's a Monday morning looming on the horizon, and I have not prepared for it. So, that's a little window into my childhood. So, we get a little older, and we apply that same skill of ignoring things that we don't want to think about to the whole concept of death. We ignore it, we pretend that it's not there until it's right around the corner, and then we can't deny it anymore, and then we get this sinking feeling in our stomach because here it is, and we got to deal with it. This psalm says, no, don't do that. Don't ignore death. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist. Face it. You're finite. You're not going to live forever. In fact, life is amazingly short, and it will be over before you know it. Verse 10, the years of our life are 70, or even if by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone, and we fly away. I mean, that verse could depress a hyena. Like, that's a super depressing verse, right? It's just there. Except, verse 12 says so, in the light of the fact that we're finite, we've just acknowledged the problem. In light of the fact that we're finite and that life is short, teach us to number our days, that we might get a heart of wisdom. So somehow recognizing and acknowledging that we are finite creatures and that our days are numbered is actually the path to wisdom, to fulfillment, to joy. Which means that ignoring death and denying our mortality is not wisdom, it's foolishness. And why is that? Well, for one thing, when you recognize that life is short, here's what happens. You start to recognize how precious each day is. Right? You learn to cherish life, actually cherish it and receive it as the gift that it is and live it to its fullest so that when you return to dust, there won't be any regrets. That's what all those parents are getting at when they talk to me and they tell me, cherish every moment because it goes by so fast. What they're telling me is, number your days. Not so that you can walk around depressed all the time, but number your days so that you can fully enjoy each one, so that you can receive each moment as the blessing and the gift that it is. That is a heart of wisdom. So when we learn to number our days, it serves as a reminder, a daily reminder, that you and I were made for something else, for something better. This life is good. I love this life. This life is good, and it's precious, and it's a gift from God. I love life. But this life is ultimately not what we're made for, and that's good too. You remember the analogy that I gave just a minute ago, when you're young and you don't want to think about Monday morning? Well, what if something radical changed in your life so that Monday morning was no longer something to be feared or to be ignored, but it was actually something to rejoice in. See, for all those who have faith in Jesus, death has been defeated. Death is a defeated enemy. And it's no longer to be ignored or feared. See, we don't pin all of our hopes on this world like so many people do. We don't look to find our deepest satisfaction, of our deepest desires in the things that this world has to offer. But we look for satisfaction and joy and peace and comfort in the steadfast love of God. And that begins now, not just when we die. I love the story of the Scotsman who was asked whether or not he expected to go to heaven, and his response was, "Man, I live there now." I love that answer. That's what I want. I want heaven now. Yes, I want to go to heaven when I die, but I want heaven now. I want to live there in the presence of God now. I want the joy and the peace and the delight that comes from being adopted into the family of God now. And it's available. Look at verse 14, and I will close with this. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Isn't that amazing? I mean, so many heavy, heavy verses in this psalm, and that's where the psalmist is heading. Satisfy us that we might rejoice and be glad, not just when we die, not just when we go to heaven, but that we might rejoice and be glad all of our days. That verse is talking about this life. That verse is telling us that God's people, when we're living according to His purposes, when we're living according to His plan for us, that we should be satisfied and peaceful and joyful and glad now, in this life. Our faith should make a difference now, in this life. Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Why? Because we're satisfied in God's steadfast love, and that doesn't change. You say, all right, fine, that's nice. But how do you do that? How do you pull that off? What are you talking about? Well, that's a whole different sermon for a different day, but I'm just going to give you an analogy to close our time that might at least help us as we begin the new year together. Here's what I thought. Think about it. There's two ways to tune an instrument. When you have an instrument, you need to get it into tune. There's two ways to do it. The first way is called relative tuning. And that means the instrument is in tune with itself, relative to itself. So you have a guitar. There are six strings on the guitar. You can tune those strings to each other so that they all sound good together, and you play it, and it sounds fine because all six strings are in tune with each other. But then if you've done that on your own, and you try to play with someone else who has also only done relative tuning and is in tune with himself or herself, when you try to then play together, you won't sound good together. You'll be out of tune because you're not in tune with each other. That's relative tuning. Okay, but there's another way to tune. It's like when the orchestra is getting ready to play. And it's important that in an orchestra, all the instruments are in tune with each other, not just on their own. And so as the performance begins, and I'm sure you've seen this or experienced it, first of all, they're all sort of playing and it all sounds kind of chaotic, and then it gets quiet. And then the principal oboe player plays what's called the tuning A. Can you hear it? It's just this note that the oboe player plays. It's the tuning A. That note always sounds the same on an oboe. It never varies. It's the way oboes are made. So once that note is played by the oboe, all the other instruments in the orchestra tune themselves to that tuning A. Okay? That's the image. That's kind of what it's like for us to find our satisfaction in the steadfast love of God. Right? We come to Him. We don't tune ourselves and come to Him, but we come to you to God and say, look, I'm not coming you to make demands. I'm not coming here to tell you to line up your will with mine. You're the creator. You're the infinite. I'm the created. I'm the finite. And so I trust you. You made me, and I trust you. You love me, and I love you. You know what's best for me way better than I know what's best for myself, so I will align my will with yours. I will trust what you say. I will believe that it is for my good. I will trust. I will tune myself to your tuning A. Every day, come to God like that. Before you do anything else, tune yourself to God's steadfast love. Get yourself in line with His will, with His word, with His promises. Orient yourself around God. Tune yourself to God. That, I promise you, will be a path to joy, satisfaction, and contentment in the year to come. Tune yourself to God's will. Let's pray. Holy Father, we love you. I thank you that you've given us your word by which we can orient ourselves, by which we can tune ourselves. We wouldn't be much good if we were left to our own. We would all be tuning ourselves relative to our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own mistakes and our own misapprehensions. But when we tune ourselves to you, to your eternal and unchanging word, that is when we find true joy, true delight, true comfort, true peace in this life now and in the life to come. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen.